So I'd like to call this a second monthly regular business meeting for the Port of Port Townsend order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So there's no shooters in the audience tonight, huh?
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Okay, so the agenda tonight is a public hearing. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion.
I'll second the motion to approve the.
All in favor?
Aye.
The approval of the agenda. The agenda is approved. So now it's time for public comments. Now, these would be public comments not related to the budget because we're going to have a special hearing for the budget. So save those comments for later. So this is just regular run-of-the-mill public comments. Anyone with any of those? No takers. Okay. So then we'll go to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to accept?
I move we accept the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Consent agenda's been approved. So now we come to recognition of Port Maintenance Manager Larry Ossie and his 20.
I recognize you.
And a half years of service.
Looks familiar. Thank you, Commissioner Tucker, and it is my honor to do this. To start anyway, because I'm sure there are other people in the audience that might want to pick up. But you know, I'm kind of a history buff. Anyone that knows me kind of knows I like history. And so I looked up March 6, 1989. And I went to Google and said, what happened on March 6, 1989? Nothing. I'm not kidding. There is nothing that happened on March 6, 1989. Well, except the Yankees beat the Mets for the first time in 5 years. That's the only thing in Google for that date. But the Port of Port Townsend knows something different. On March 6, 1989, a young scrapping Larry Ossie came down from Homer, Alaska, to be part of the Port of Port Townsend. And thank you for that. It was definitely a different port back then. A lot of you, I think, were probably around in 89. And so I just started listing things. Of course, the port didn't control Point Hudson back then. That was the Raleigh Corporation. There was no 300-ton travel lift. There was no 75-ton travel lift. There was an old rickety wooden pier that the 60 and 70-ton travel lift went out on. AB Dock was even rotting back then. And ready for condemnation. Matter of fact, they condemned the electrical system, I think Larry and I were talking about back in those days. And our claim to fame was we were the only international airport in the U.S. that had a grass runway. You can imagine, a grass runway in 1989. That was our Port of Port Townsend. So little things, Bill Toski had just become the manager. We had a young fellow that retired. His name was George Young, I think. George. So he had retired. We had another youngster, Herb Beck, that was serving his third of seven terms back in those days. Commissioner was Ray Lowry and Ed Barcott. So you all remember, a lot of you remember those names. The most amazing fact I came up with was the port's total budget was $866,000. That's a pretty small budget. So little known fact, Larry and I are 2 months apart. Mm-hmm. We were born 700 miles apart. He was a little farther west than I was. I was in Cleveland, Ohio, and you were in Minnesota, I believe.
Aye, a little bit. This far from Minnesota, yeah.
And, you know, one of us is 2 months older. I'm not going to tell you which one is, but Larry and I used to always joke that who was going to retire first, and you won. and you deserve it. And so I really want to thank you. I mean, I really want to thank you. We've stood beside each other for the last 18 years. I took a 2-year vacation in there, but it's been a fun ride with you. Yeah. So I know that you really like tools, and you like the best tools around. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure that the port got you those best tools, and we knew that Jackie was going to have a fun do this for you. So we thought you were going to need this. Thank you.
I know very well.
Wow. Thank you. Break the bank. We have
airport.
I was just at the airport, and we were just thinking about that.
And then this is from the port. We have the real gift that you can hang on your wall and be proud of for all your friends comes the Golden Hammer Award. And a little token of our esteem, a gift certificate for woodcraft, which I understand that you like doing wood projects, and now you'll get a little bit of financial help doing it. So thank you very much for
your thank you very much.
I like what you said, and that's exactly the conversation Ernie and I had this before we started. And we call it the good old days when the Funky Boat Yard was there and Ernie was there, and we were in the general construction building, and believe it or not, that we shared a bathroom with a hooker that was working on the Funky Boat Yard. and
you agree the good old days, right?
Absolutely.
That was fun. And the budget was small and life was easy. And then Hala came along and things got a lot more complicated after that. But it's been a great job, and I feel lucky. So thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Can I
say just a few words here?
Certainly. Yes. In fact, if anyone else wants to,
my friend and colleague, Larry Ozzie, I just was jotting down a few words that I think describe the man and his service to this port and community. And it's dedication and commitment, a really incredible capacity to do more with less, creative ingenious in pulling that off, consistently good humored, a willingness to help me kind of understand the port and kind of where the some of the skeletons, at least in terms of maintenance and capital issues, lie buried. And we're probably going to be, you know, calling you periodically for a skeleton locate. I know your staff has viewed you as like a father figure. You really kind of built that staff, helped to build this place. And for that, we will be eternally grateful, and you're going to be sorely missed. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I see Larry as a brotherly figure. He's been a big brother.
Yeah, and I was half port shrink, too.
He's been great. We'll miss him.
Yeah. Well, it was a very good staff, you know, to work with. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of stress and a lot of other things, but mostly fun.
Yeah.
And a good group of people to work with all these years. So.
Well, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Claire, I'll just say I'm going to miss the pickup tailgate talks. You know, you'd pull up, and I like leaning on the back of the truck and getting your perspective, especially when I first became a commissioner, of, you know, like, where are the bodies and how bad are the bodies? And you were always really frank and honest and really wise, too. You had a lot of knowledge. So mm-hmm. I really appreciated leaning over the back of the truck and getting some information. So. Thank you for that.
I feel like I kind of been disadvantaged. I took this job expecting Larry to be here. I think, you know, being kind of the fourth commissioner for so long, I don't know, I must have burned up a lot of Larry's time. I hope he wasn't keeping a time card on me. But I really appreciate, you know, your depth of knowledge and your thoughtful insights. So,
mm-hmm. Well, it was funny when Jim mentioned March 89, that's when I started. And I had worked as a surveyor most of my life in Alaska, on the Alaska pipeline, and a lot of construction. And so Bill hired me, you know, because AB Duck was under construction. And 20 years later, that happened actually. But what's interesting about it is that. I started for $6.50 an hour, and if you'd told me I'd be sitting here 30 years later, I would have never believed you. But here it was, you know. So.
Yeah, someday I hope to make $6.50 an hour.
And so one last thing is Monday, October 29th, 4 o'clock at the poorhouse, although it's a no-host bar, but we'd love to see y'all.
Sounds fun. I'll be there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay, so let's see, I need the sign-in sheet. Okay, the first public hearing for the Port of Port Townsend's 2019 operating and capital budget is now open. All persons wishing to be heard should have signed in at the sign-in table, and if you haven't done so, please do so now. I have it up here. If you haven't got your name on it yet, come grab it. The public hearing will proceed in an orderly fashion. Everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. Anyone making comments should first give his or her name and address. And please speak slowly and clearly because these proceedings are recorded. In fairness to all in attendance, each person will be given an opportunity to address the commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes. And unused minutes may not be transferred to another individual. I am requesting commissioners to hold their questions of the public until everyone is finished. This is the time for presentation of testimony. No debate is going to be allowed. But before hearing from members of the public, I'm going to introduce Abigail Berg, who will make the staff presentation. Abigail?
Thank you, Commissioner Tucker. I'm pleased to present this third draft of the 2019 port operating budget. With a focus of rebuilding the port's cash position, we projected increases in revenue where possible, while also reducing expenses. At a later date, we'll prepare the capital budget with projections out for 4 years. Since there were only a few changes between the second and third draft, we didn't provide another document outlining them. Those changes include removal of the 1% increase on top of the CPI that was discussed before. This reduced revenues by approximately $26,600. Healthcare premiums for the union members were released to the port, and there was a slight premium increase. The overall increase to that line item was $2,500. And there was a slight correction made to the yard benefits line item of about $7,000. And then depreciation expense was lowered since the Point Hudson South Jetty project was not completed in 18. Aside from these changes, we put together the complete draft budget document that included narrative and graphs to give the whole picture of the port and where we hope to be with next year's activity. Overall, I think it's a solid budget, and it heads the port in the right direction, building cash for future sustainability that will allow us to continue to serve the community and repair and maintain port assets. Do you have any questions with what's been presented, what you've been able to review?
No. Okay, so in just a minute, when we get our sliding sheet back, we'll hear comment. Okay, so the first one is, and Sue's going to be taking time, so look at her in case she's waving her hand. She's not saying hi, she's saying, you're about out of time. So the first person would be Richard Lane. Don't be bashful, Richard. Okay, well, he maybe is bashful. Jeff Kelpie?
Well, then I'll take Richard's time. That's fair.
You want to borrow my hammer?
We are not about hammers. We're all about fun here. My name is Jeff Kelpie, and I'm here in Port Townsend, 419 Bend Street, and representing the Jefferson County Mortgage Tenants Association. Before I begin, can I ask, we sent some materials. Can I ask if the commission has received those and had a chance to peruse those?
Yes.
Okay. Then I won't read word for word because that doesn't seem useful. Thank you guys for spending time on this. So the net of this is we've been talking for the last few weeks about the need to put some additional clarity and transparency by exposing expenses, where they're coming from. and that has some real benefits, so we can apply business processes to this. So based on Director Provarnik's standing with the large tenants on a number of occasions, and we really appreciate his time, anecdotally, we went to that staffing of transients takes about three times more than staffing of permanent work. We'll just start there as a baseline of trying to do some expensing. And based on that, we did some extrapolations. And they are only extrapolations. We understand that they're not actual times, but by the same token, there was no other data around. So as a result of that, on the spreadsheet that we had provided, you will see that the Boat Haven, I'm going to say long-term moorage, because that includes monthly as well as permanent, so I'm going to say long-term and short-term, short-term being guests. The long-term moorage generates a wonderful 49% profit versus the short-term moorage, which unfortunately has a 34% deficit. Again, we're extrapolating, but I think no matter what we end up doing, we're going to get to those kind of numbers. So the data suggests that a resolution to a poorly performing business segment is not simply the application of an automatic CPI. So there are other business solutions that we'd like this body to consider. We have considered one, which was the application of a 12% increase to short-term mortgage, which nets more in a year, from my extrapolations, than does CPI applied to permanent livable board, et cetera. So if you go based on that, by rooting out expenses, by applying some business component to it and not simply doing an automatic adjustment, you have some viable alternatives. But perhaps more importantly, the alternative rate approach counters some recent policies that have, we think have had a detrimental cultural shift, and we've talked about that.
Time.
Thank you. So I'm going to just take two more seconds to get through. So really what we're asking the commissioners to do is to take some time to understand the alternatives to simply applying CPI. We'd like to take the next 2 months before you apply any new rates and to apply rigorous business processes. We're not saying what the rate should be on permanent, but we are asking for time to collaborate together to do this level of analysis. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Chris McDaniel.
So I did not mean to. I thought that was okay. A tenant sheet. I'm actually here to cover the meeting. I'm a reporter with the Leader, so no speaking on my part. My apologies.
Should I make some news?
Generally, no, sir.
George Yount.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Thank you very much. My name is George Yount. I reside at 717 25th Street, Port Townsend. Slight misinformation there, Jim. I didn't retire in 1997. I was selected to be the deputy director to the Port of Olympia, and then I retired out of there. It is extremely difficult for me to read. My eyes are that bad, that's why I don't drive and ride a bicycle, but I did get a ride here tonight. I'm going to just submit this in writing to you because I'm unable to read it. Thank you.
You want me to read it, George? Yeah, we should probably.
Well, it's sure.
I think we should, because this is a hearing.
I'm going to ask you to delete one thing.
Okay.
on page, I apologize. Yeah. That this section right here, from here to here.
Delete that?
Delete that, the rest of it.
Okay. Can I make a mark on this?
Sure.
Thank you for doing that. Yeah, I'm very sorry about that.
No, that's good. Can you read from the podium?
Yeah. No, you, well, I think you can read it from there. Here you go.
Okay. This is from George Yon. 2018 budget is a good start. Prepare for some tough choices. Adoption of the 2019 budget is only the beginning. Current revenue streams and tax receipts are inadequate to fund the long-term maintenance, repair, and replacement of the suite of facilities and equipment we presently operate. Required to undertake management responses that may include a combination of all of the following. Increase rates and fees to recoup costs. Rates will go up. Find formula that addresses the true cost of facilities and operations, fair and predictable. MTU meeting in which held up postcard size signs, no to CPI plus one, 1 cent on the dollar, $3 on 300. Really, no mortgage increase at all, ever. And these are question marks, rhetorical questions. No on CPI plus one signals MTU will not support costs for facilities and services. Go over big when you attempt to sell the county taxpayers on a levy lid lift for Port Townsend voters, Boat Haven infrastructure. The plus one is like a slow moving tectonic plate that keeps the rate adjustment pressure low. If you want a tsunami, jump like a couple of years ago, hold up your no on CPI plus one now. Critically evaluate and potentially cut overhead expenses. Commissioners, your assignment decides services do not generate income. One fleeting moment, Port had bandwidth to expand activities and create more revenue silos to spread the operational costs around. I don't see it going to happen. So who on the staff gets the black spot in order to keep rates for services and mortgage hidden in the middle of the bell curve of compared rates? Align expectations with realities. It pains me to say the future of the port and marine trades is grim. We are like a house of cards and don't see it and deny it. The tide is coming in. Computer models of inundation in Port Townsend and the Boat Haven. Chances of storm surges and flooding next 5 to 7 years. Knockout storm water filtration system and yard permit goes. Top priority this year has to be sea level rise. Don't expect money from the feds or the state. We are on our own. You hired Jim to calm the waters until you find a new director that can walk on water. He has made it crystal clear the staff understands the magnitude of the issues. All of us have to help this agency survive. We must work together to figure a way out of this mess. George Young.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, yep. Thank you, George. Charlie Kaninsky.
Hi, my name is Charlie Kineski. I'm a resident of Port Townsend, and so it's clear I also have a vote in the mortgage here in Bohaven. First, I want to commend the entire staff for what I think is a good start on a 2019 budget, but I also want to emphasize good start, it's not finished. So, and I also want to thank all of you, Jim, and the commissioners and Abigail for sharing your information openly. We don't have to do a records request. There's finally some sharing going on. That feels really good. And I feel like I have the opportunity to help and bring some skills and help. So thank you very much. And also, we sent a letter. Liz and I sent a letter. Did the commissioners receive the letter that was sent? Okay, so I don't need to go through that again because it's stated there. But there's a couple of things that are clear. One is you cannot pass a budget or a capital budget tonight. One reason is you don't have a capital budget. You have a wish list. And there's no reason to have to hurry this and pass a wish list. We're not sure, as our letter states, whether you can even legally pass a wish list as a faux budget. And we think it needs to be real numbers. Some of those things on what's called a budget have no numbers, some have a range. You gotta put a number on it. Do we know all, do we have a crystal ball, do we know? No, but I think we need to put a number on. There are numbers in the cash flow, I understand, but I do think there needs to be numbers in the budget portion. One other thing that we need to do in the working of the budget is Jeff Glady pointed out a good thing that we calculate. I went back and forth with emails to him. Hey, did you notice that there's somewhere between 7.5 and 8.6 to 12% increases in these mortgage? And if CPI is 3.3, why do we have this excess increase? What we don't have is a working tool that says, here's either year to date plus 3 months last year to get a full year times the CPI percentage increase, and here's the 2019 budget. What we have are, and we can, it's clear being a numbers guy that when you use round numbers like that, there's not a calculation done on that. It's you're rounding and say, we think we're gonna make this much more. I'm a little concerned about the revenue projections with that much rounding in. You know, just as a for instance, if I calculated from 2018 to 2019 budget for permanent mortgage shows a 7.5% increase. CPI is 3.3, and that's 4.2% difference, or 46 grand. So those are the kind of numbers. So please don't pass it. Great job, but let's keep working on it, and I'm happy to help. Thank you for listening.
That's all the people who had signed up, so there being no further testimony, I will close the public testimony portion of the hearing. It is now in order for the commission to discuss the matter and make a motion to take action or to continue this public hearing to November the 14th at 1 o'clock. So, to continue this discussion, I think I heard what Charlie said, and if I'm not mistaken, I think I caught sight of an email that indicated that the difference between the whatever the percentages of the mortgage revenues and the budget is because we were actually taking actual revenues from 2018 instead of budget revenues. Is that correct?
If I could explain a little bit here, Commissioners. One is I apologize for the mistake that we did calling this a capital budget. Because as Abigail says, this is not a capital budget. It's not meant to be a capital budget. We will be spending the next 2 months developing that capital budget to be a five-year plan. This budget does include a wish list, Charlie's absolutely correct, of things to be thinking about, of here's the money we're making from an operation point of view. These are the capital items we're looking at. We told you last meeting we can't fund all those ideas. There's just no way, there's no money. But we want that to be out in the public so they know what we're dealing with. So the mistake that I made was this is an operating budget we're looking at passing tonight if we do or postpone it, not a capital budget. But one of the things I asked Abigail today, and again, Charlie is right, we don't give a lot of information on our website. Our website has every financial going back 3 years. You can go back every month. But it doesn't have a breakdown by cost centers. This budget was the first step we made in doing cost center reporting. And I asked Abigail if we could in the future do cost center reporting on the website every month so people can see where we are by cost center. Because the reason there is a 7.4% differential is increased utilization. If you look at our August numbers and our September numbers, which we'll be presenting here in a little bit, we are quite a bit over projections from the 18 budget. So because the Boat Haven and Point Hudson to a certain extent is a fluid thing, because we have marine trades, transient and permanent all serving the same facility, that changes. I don't know how many 100-foot boats are going to come in and be serviced on a given year. So that changes, it will change our permanent structure versus our temporary structure versus our commercial activity. So we need to do better, got that, and we are going to be doing better. So you'll be able to go on our website and see every month how we perform by category. So that is coming. But that's, and there are a lot of anomalies in this budget you're going to see. This looks like a huge increase. That's just because we're ahead of schedule. And the shipyard is booming right now. Boatyard is in a tailspin. So those are things we need to look at.
Is on the question of the discrepancy, if I'm a permanent mortgage holder, am I going up by CPI or am I going up by something different?
CPI. There's nothing more in here than the CPI for any mortgage, and every fee is going up by CPI.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that what I was trying to explain is that the concern was made that the budget from last year showed us a number, and then the budget for the next year, this budget showed one that was higher than, bigger than the CPI difference.
Yeah.
And the reason for that difference is because we're not starting with budget, we're starting with actual numbers, which are far ahead of what the budget was. And so that's why the difference is bigger, because we made more money last year. Mm-hmm. So CPI is the animal right now.
Hey Frank, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
One of the speakers commented about we have to pass a capital budget with the operating budget. And if we pass this budget tonight, we're not necessarily passing a capital budget, just an operating budget. Is that
correct? You are required under Chapter 5335 of the Revised Code of Washington to pass a budget. It is an operating budget. You can amend it from time to time. If you have a capital budget and you want to pass that, that's fine. You can still reserve your right to approve the expenditures. The operating budget is the one under which you operate. You can amend that from time to time as well. So depending on what you want to pass, that can be a preliminary capital budget or just a work in progress, but you do have to pass an operating budget. That's the only requirement.
And what's the...
Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
Well, kind of. We can pass, I guess the other way to word the question is we can pass a capital budget later on, or we don't have to pass a capital budget.
Correct. There is no requirement for a capital budget in the statute. You can pass that at any time you want.
Okay.
Right. Sort of statutory due date for this budget to be passed?
Yeah. And I'm sure I will defer to my colleague Abigail because she knows more about it than I do. But you can do it by statute, but it basically has to be into the county by the, if you pass the resolution by the first week in December, Abigail?
I believe it's November 30, it has to be in.
Yeah. There's a statutory requirement, but you can pass a resolution to delay that. So November 30.
Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. So,
I'm good.
And I'm good too. I think that I would like to see work start on the capital budget and the 5-year plan. And the sooner we get this thing put to bed, the sooner that can begin.
Yeah, I'm good with that. You want a motion?
Sure.
I make a motion we approve the 2019 budget as is. Operating side.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The 2019 operating budget has been passed. Okay. So the next thing we have is Northwest Maritime Center floats.
Floats.
Didn't they have a discussion with
the parade?
Yes, the parade. We have a discussion with the commission. Traditionally, the Port and the Maritime Center have always partnered on projects. And one of those partnerships was the removal of their floats from their dock, where we pulled them and they paid full price for the haul out. But we would store them in a corner of a yard that wasn't occupiable by a boat in exchange for a sponsorship of the Wooden Boat Festival. That's kind of been the way it's been for a number of years. That stopped last year. We were not sponsored with the Ribbon Boat Festival. I wanted to talk to the commission about some ideas that I had where we could work with the community and partner. Again, one of my goals when I was hired is to partner with community organizations. So Jake and I put together a plan that's not in here, but I wanted the commissioner's ideas to whether they would like me to pursue this, where it'd be a combination of a sponsorship to the Wooden Boat Festival and advertising for the whole year in 48 North. 48 North is a publication we have advertised in the past. Obviously, the Maritime Center is now the publisher of that publication. So we could fulfill some of our advertising goals to help fill up Point Hudson and our yard through that vehicle. But in the end, I think it's a good partnership with the Maritime Center. You can tell me I'm crazy or talk to Jake.
What kind of, I mean, we have a marketing plan to use that space in 48 North, or is it just a kind of a, we're here, don't forget us kind of thing, or?
So one of the things I was big on back in the day was cooperative advertising, because I think cooperative advertising works the best. If our tenants are successful, we'll be successful. So I was thinking of doing a port banner page, a spread where the port of Port Townsend, inside of that would be various marine trades that could buy advertising so that we're selling, come to the port of Port Townsend and get all your services done. We could also do one for Point Hudson that could be sponsorship with restaurants, attractions, and marine trades. So we'll have two different types of things where we're really calling those people to the port.
And the storage of their floats is adequate to defray the cost of the advertising?
Yeah, the whole email exchange I put in the packet here for your perusal, our rates are now $13,000 to store those floats. That's just the storage cost. That's not the fallout cost which they're paying. So the sponsorship is about $7,000 for the festival, and the balance could be used for advertising.
Well, I really like the idea of supporting the Maritime Center, but I think I like better having everything out in the open and delineated. In other words, having a, okay, I'll pull this out and store it for you, and then you give me here and you get there. It all gets so nebulous that you kind of lose track of what's going on. And I think we discovered that when we're trying to figure out the total costs involved in what it took to have that thing go down there every year. When we finally added them up, they were huge. And so I think, like I said, I'm all for doing that, but I think that we need to do it in the sense of how much do they really charge for advertising and how much do we really charge for storage, and put that down numerically and then have an accounting at the end to see who's ahead or behind, rather than just kind of, oh yeah, sure, we'll do that.
Oh, I agree.
How about where are you going to put them? It doesn't affect a revenue spot for us.
They're already here. They're in place. Their staff brought them over here and TJ hauled them. They paid for the haul out. Now we're just saying, okay, are they going to pay the storage or are we going to work some arrangement? They are right next to the 300 ton, so it's kind of by the Larry Scott Trail there where they really can't get a boat.
Part of the Larry Scott Trail is dissolving?
No. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not dissolving, it's kind of just kind of moving out to sea. Yeah.
So we can't put a boat there.
Because you're right to the road, right next to the road. So I'm not asking, I mean, it's within my signature authority to do this. This is a policy, though, that I really wanted to bring to the public and to the commission to say, if we're serious about partnering with local community organizations, we don't want to give things away, we can't give things away. But there are some advertising opportunities that we could use in exchange for this service.
I think maybe rather than exchange checks, a letter, a memo of understanding between the organizations that the Wooden Boat Foundation offers us this credit against advertising, and we offer this storage and kind of do that exchange kind of thing. But I think rather than, I don't know, doing it on, by exchanging checks, does that make sense?
Just exchange checks, just have an accounting, you know, so that we know that, that there's the storage is worth this much, so we have this much credit at whatever, and take away whatever their actual sponsorship fees are and the advertising fees, and then just have an accounting at the end.
Doesn't need to be long and elaborate, just some, you know, one-page letter of understanding what, what's going on.
But I think it's important that we support our local affiliates and so on, but I think it's also important that we don't kind of let it get so nebulous as it was before, where it just kind of got, oh, well, you know, just go put it there, we won't worry about it, you know. I think those kind of exchanges kind of got, they just grow, and you don't, when you don't see them, like, much right.
Okay,
is that what you need there?
Which is what I need?
You have the sense of the commission.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is going to be a short meeting. So now we're down to staff comments.
No.
Abigail, you've already staff commented?
My staff comment was
oh, that.
The September year-to-date financials, which I apologize.
Good news.
Make it on the agenda.
No, they didn't make it on the agenda because I was working on the budget. But I did get it done in time to get it to this meeting. We continue to look good against budget with revenues and expenditures. I think, you know, it still is looking like a solid year. We've got a couple big debt service payments coming up soon. Next week's one of them. I think we'll be fine with that.
Are you taking questions as you go through?
Sure.
Where are you at? What's
your, I'm just...
Yeah, right there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at workyard revenue and your highlighted comment there, does that... Have you taken a look at the lifts? Are we... I mean, like, total length of boat that we're hauling for the workyard or number of lifts or something, are we up in that? As far as, are we being affected by the discounted rates? We're still hauling the same number of boats, but we're making less money now. Or are we hauling more boats and still making less money now?
We're hauling less in the small yard.
Yeah.
And not only are we hauling less, but we're also getting less revenue.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, it's dire. I mean, $42,000 off budget now in a small yard. And if we keep doing this, it could be a lot worse. December.
Do you think we're getting hit with the, you know, Seaviews and Bellingham and Everett? Is it...
I personally don't think people like to haul their boats in November and December because it's not very fun working out in the yard.
Gets worse in January and February.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. But, you know, we've only given it 2 months to try. So I think we need to let this play out and see if we're going to get more. I think we need to advertise some more. I know the marine trades are advertising. So I think we need to get that word out there a little more and see if we can pick up some space.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not like those boats, I mean, the small 30-foot boats, it's not like they're going away. That's booming business right now.
You can see the yard overall is up $107,000.
Yeah.
And the shipyard is carrying us.
Right.
So if it wasn't for the shipyard, we'd be really in some.
And actually the hoist revenue on both the shipyard and the workyard are doing well. They're more than last year. So I think it's more related to the storage related. Mm-hmm. And that discounted rate.
What might be informative would be if we could actually go out and look at those other yards that you mentioned and see if they're as empty as we are, or if they're packed or what.
Yeah.
Because if they're packed and we're empty and we've got our discount, then that didn't do it. Something else did. We don't know what. We have to determine that. But if it's just like Jim suggested, nobody likes to haul the boats out in the wintertime because it's cold and nasty, then this kind of won't be making any difference. Except that loses money.
Yeah. Of course, we're not losing as much money because we're not doing as much business.
Thanks.
But yeah, overall, we're looking good just in looking at the operations. Income from operations without depreciation, we're up from the prior year by $170,000, which is a nice chunk of money. And we're out of budget. So it's looking good.
Is the gravel, re-graveling, is that a capital project?
Mm-hmm.
So do we depreciate the gravel?
The project, yeah. Because it's supposed to have a useful life of over a year.
So it has a, what's the what schedule? Is it on like a 5-year?
No, I think, I'm not sure. I'll have to check. Because I know we're planning next year too, but it's a different location.
Different area.
Yeah. I don't think it's very much
very long.
Longer than a year. It's probably 2, maybe 3. But, yeah.
So that useful life, has that started yet? Because it's not very useful, some of the gravel. You put it down there and it's like, driving on ball bearings. Or we have a solution for that?
We do. We have a stockpile of gravel in the yard that has fines in it that we're spreading with our own backhoe in there to try to pack it down. And everybody believes that as the rains come, it will pack down. It's just right now it's pretty dry.
Do we not spec the right size?
We spec DOT specifications, and it is DOT specifications.
Okay.
It is a little
it is. Of course.
Yeah.
Do you know, kind of a timing question on the bond interest payments that are coming up this week?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if, as you look at these numbers last year, I wonder, have we made those payments already? When these numbers came out for September?
So actually bond interest, that is allocated monthly. So it's not based on the actual payment time.
Right.
And then also the amortization schedules, the interest as you go further in your debt service, the interest lowers and the principal increases. So you would automatically see a reduction there.
Okay, so you're saying that the same payments in the bond interest were applied in 2018 that were applied in 2017. How about your cutoff date?
Okay. Right.
That's
okay. Sorry.
Got it.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Great.
Any other staff comments on?
Just have to be back at it, ready to get after it, and I've been working diligently to get our 100% kind of supplemental grant application for the JCIA runway project submitted. That's kind of the immediate focus here. I'm trying to, it's an October 31 deadline, and we're looking to have that uploaded to the FAA site by the end of this week. And obviously more to report mid-November.
The commissioners, there's two of them there, Steve.
Oh.
Okay.
Whoops. I think I've got that.
So I've been working with Team Jefferson about the new Emerald Coast Opportunity Zones. I don't know how much you know about them. Interesting program. It's a federal government program whereas investors can invest in areas or in infrastructure idea or projects within the Opportunity Zones. The Opportunity Zones are based on the census tract, so they're all done by census tract. We are a disadvantaged county, so we have quite a few of these. We are the only zone in the country that has both Clallam County, Jefferson County, and 5 tribes that are all working together to manage these zones. Most zones are only for a certain community. So that's pretty exciting that we can all work together. So what it does, basically, in a nutshell, is it allows somebody to invest say a building. Let's take a hypothetical where Craftsman United wants a building, can't afford a building, A group of investors can come in and build that building for Craftsman United. They will get a 100% credit on their capital gains when that project sold if they hold it for 10 years. So if they hold that project for 10 years and sell it and they make $100,000, there is no capital gains on that $100,000. So it's very lucrative for people that are coming out of investments, 1031 exchange type operations. It requires no SEC check. Anybody can do it. You can sell your house and have capital gains, reinvest it as long as you follow the IRS rules. So why this is exciting to us is the Boathaven is part of this. Point Hudson is part of this. And Quilsing is part of this. Unfortunately, the airport and Glen Cove are not part of this because they're a different census tract. So Brian Koo is looking into whether there is any way we can get the federal government to give us an additional census tract for this to include the airport in Glen Cove. Nobody seems to think that's going to have much weight. But what's interesting, and Eric and I were talking about the other day, the entire Olympic National Park is an opportunity zone. But Glen Cove and the airport are not. So obviously,
same census tract with Ho Tribe on right. That little eyebrow on the ocean.
So obviously, this was done by some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. that says we're going to go here, here, and here, and didn't really go to the community to find out. All in all, though, I think it's pretty exciting. We had a meeting yesterday, and all the players were together, and I think it was the first time I've ever seen us all in the same meeting, where Timmons, Morley, and Dunbar and I were meeting. So the PUD, the city, the county, and the port all together in the same meeting, talking about how this can be utilized for our community. So more to follow. I just thought I'd give you the maps, let you know where we are. The final IRS ruling will be coming out in January, so we'll know exactly what has to happen.
Is this new?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've been following this in the NRDC, right?
We had the last NRDC meeting, we had a presentation. Long discussion about this. Of course, it was in advance of the IRS actually codifying this, so there was some guessing about it. But you know, the outline of the opportunity zone and how we operate on an investment from an investment perspective is pretty thoroughly talked through.
Is this retroactive?
No, and if you do a transaction that creates a capital gain, you have 180 days to find an opportunity zone shelter for it. You have to invest the entirety of that capital gain in not just the tax amount, the entirety of the capital gain in the opportunity zone. And then there is a graduated recovery. So you get so many percent after 5 years, and so many more percent after, you know, and it graduates up until ultimately, I think it was 10 years. 10 years, you get the entirety of your capital gains liability wiped out. So there are really two sorts of investors. So there are people who are in this to shelter their capital gain and expect a return on their investment, and you know, it's kind of a regular businessman's business person's approach to things. And then of course there's people that are looking for social investments, and this is a way to stretch their social investment if they have it's income from a capital gain that they might have out of their business. So you know, projects don't necessarily have to pencil out in the end. So there's an opportunity here to do more than just real estate investment and that kind of thing. But it is, these investments are tied to real property, so they're tied to buildings or tied to land.
We have a comment in the back. Well, can you state your name, please?
Just a question. Ken McCullough. I'm a tenant in the boat haven here. What's that? Is that program just called Opportunity Zone, or is there a different name?
This is the Emerald Opportunity Zone. There will be a website up. The Jamestown Scotland Tribe is actually going to be putting that website together for all of the Emerald Zone, and they're expecting it to be online by January.
And there were, there were 20 opportunity zones designated in the state of Washington, and then each tribe got an additional one that they could designate.
Commissioner?
Yes.
I was going to tell you, the opportunity zones arose from the Tax Cuts and Job Act of 2017. So the recent Tax Cut Act created opportunity zones. And one of the things we hear around the state people are looking at is how housing authorities do market rates. They have a similar program for housing authorities where there's tax credits. And so essentially what happens is the amount that governments have to pay or somebody has to pay for is reduced by the gain from the tax. So, you know, the investor ends up kind of in the same place with the tax credit from the opportunity zone. So it creates, the idea is cheap financing, but it was really taken from the housing authority model of market rate housing that they do. So they're the real experts on this. I just say the housing authorities really understand how this thing works because it's very
Thank you. So anyway, one of the things that Jim said that was kind of neat is that he had a meeting with the city, the county, and who else? The
PD.
And that's at his level. And then, of course, Bill goes to the meeting every month where the whole peninsula gets together.
Forks tomorrow.
Yeah, and they all talk about these things, government agency only, Olympic Peninsula-wide. And then I just came back from a PIF board meeting today where I was sitting with the mayor and a county commissioner and a PUD representative. And so I think that there's lots of opportunities for us to work together that I'm seeing that I hadn't really seen much in the past. I hadn't really seen much collaboration, and I'm seeing a lot of it now. And I'm really getting excited about it. Really good, good energy there. So. Okay. Any other staff comments? So, let's see, where am I?
Eric, you have nothing to say.
Commissioner comments.
I'm good. I'll pass.
Okay.
I had, after a year of asking for it, I finally had a tour of all the port properties. Jim took me around. It seemed to have caused a lot of anxiety around the county, having port people snoop around facilities. But it was really interesting to get some detailed insight. I mean, I've been to all the properties, but I mean, it's good to have a dialogue while you're looking at something. Went to the Small Ports Conference in Leavenworth, and my wife says it's beautiful outside. I didn't get to leave the hotel, but she said it was very nice. So, let's see. And that's about it. Get to go to Forks tomorrow and see if I shimmer in the sunlight.
Thank you.
Good luck finding sunlight.
Yeah. Well, I went to the PAF board meeting, like I said, this afternoon, and I'm feeling really excited about the energy that we have in that group, talking about how to expand or, you know, enhance infrastructure funding in the area here. Another thing that I had an interesting meeting with, and we're going to be working more toward this, is historical designations of the jetty. Robert Darcy came up with this idea, and he's been very smart about figuring out who to talk to, and he's actually been working hard to get it done. There's a potential that we can get the jetty designated as a historical designation, which would then open up some funding, but more importantly, would free up permitting for it so that we'd be able to permit the thing and be able to have it take up the footprint in its present structure, which is a caged rock structure, which would have many benefits over the monolithic steel wall that we had initially designed. Some of the benefits are we'd retain the habitat that's living in the rocks, and another benefit is wave reduction from the caged rock. So that's ongoing now, and it's exciting stuff, I think.
I did have a chance to talk to Bob McDonald about that project at the Small Ports Conference. Spent half an hour probably discussing that. We're going to have them back for some talks about that.
Well, that means you got an earful because I talked to him too. Yeah, and then the Small Ports Conference, that was all very good. One of the things, one of the highlights of the Small Ports Conference was the first session that was optional, which was marketing, do-it-yourself marketing, which is what we're doing now. Jim said he volunteered to do do-it-yourself marketing when he came on board, and so we have quite a bunch of stuff that we can start doing. We have a helper in WPPA. So that's all my commissioner comments. So the next public workshop, are we having a workshop on November?
Yeah.
Okay. Our public workshop will be Wednesday, November the 14th at 9:30 in the morning, and our next business meeting will be the same day, November the 14th at 1 o'clock right here. And so now we're going to adjourn into an executive session pursuant to 42.30.
Steve, you're done taking a dialogue from the...
Yeah. Into the executive session regarding 42.30.110C, it'll just be... Well, let's make it 15 minutes. And no decision. So we're adjourned.